Amen? Okay, highlights. Like I said last week, so we usually say, 2019 is going to be a great year. This is the way we say. But I changed it a little bit. 2019, we are going to change. We are going to have. We are going to be better. We are going to increase. We are going to experience more things from the Lord. And because we are going to have, we are going to be better in 2019, that's why the 2019 is going to be a better year. Because of us. If somebody says, oh no, I predicted that 2019 is going to be a great year, and you feel like, ooh, yeah, somebody said it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. No, you have to hear from here, from inside out. Remember, revival is from inside out. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here. So we believe it's going to be a great year because we're going to be working with the Lord, growing in Him and in the knowledge of His Word. Amen? And spending time with Him, enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why. So first thing is, it was what God put in my heart. If you remember, I won't ask you to repeat because, you know, I don't like that. Sometimes we forget and people, and then sounds like I didn't preach well. So I'll tell you and then you repeat. First thing is, keep your heart away from pride. Okay, bye-bye. But I don't want to stay there. Keep your heart away from pride. Do you remember that? If you, I'm giving the highlights because I know not everybody was here last week. And keep your heart. Because, you know, pride is something really dangerous. This is a sin. Pride is a sin. And pride brought us the angel of light to fall. He tried to be better than God. He tried to be in God's position. And then I gave three things that it's really important for you to understand if you are walking in pride or not. So, and God doesn't really like. No, it's when you think you don't make mistakes. If you think that's, no, yeah, of course it's going to be a great year because I don't make mistakes. I'm good. I don't say that, Pastor. Nobody says that. I don't make mistakes. We make mistakes. But sometimes people, the way they speak, they think you are wrong and I'm right. So all the time. I'm not right all the time. So we have to just to think about it. But, you know, to meditate a little bit. And ask the Lord, am I doing right? Am I making some mistakes in my life or not? God is going to tell you. And when you think you are, not you, when people think they are in a better position where they're better than the other ones, so that's really dangerous. That sounds like pride as well. And when people, and this is really dangerous, start judging people because this is not our position. When you do that, like I said before, it's like us trying to sit on the throne of God, like Lucifer tried to do, to judge. That's position, God's position. He's the one who will judge us. But you can judge yourself through the Word of God. Of course, before communion, there's nothing there. Before communion, when we have to examine ourselves. We have to judge ourselves through the Word of God. And sometimes people say, but if you correct someone, you are judging that person. So no, if I, through the word, I identify mistakes in people's lives, I can tell in love, I can help, I can teach, I can, no. But through the word, it's not because I think, it's because the word says. Okay? Go fast. The second one is get rid of envy behavior. Envy behavior. When scripture says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So envy is not good. You know, just one thing, if someone has that in their heart and is the fruit of the flesh, not fruit of the spirit, it's flesh. You know, it's impossible for us to really please or understand or be glad or happy or rejoice what God gave us or give us. Sometimes God is blessing us, but we don't really have our grateful. We are not grateful with that. We don't have gratitude in our hearts, so we are looking for something else. We are trying, no, oh, I want something else. I want something better. And we are not really rejoicing with what God gave to us. So that's why sometimes we become a little bit like that. So enjoy, rejoice. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you gave to me. Thank you, Lord, for this iPad. So maybe in the future, yeah, I could have something better than this. But now I rejoice because you gave to me. Everything you have that came from the Lord is good. It's perfect. It's perfect timing. So we just rejoice. If you realize it doesn't come from the Lord, get rid of that. So, but if it comes from the Lord, it's good. But if you receive and say, no, I want something else. And start looking around. So, oh, that guy is better than me. He has better things than me. So that's really dangerous. The third one was love your family. You know, that's a great advice. Love your family. Spend time with your family. No, it's really good. It's not a problem. We read the Bible. We pray. We meditate in the scripture. So sometimes Christians are so spiritual, they forget enjoying life, enjoying family, enjoying friends. And the other one is to build up new relationships or older relationships. Let's build up. Let's get together. Let's spend time together. Let's love one another. Let's encourage one another. Don't forget, yesterday I had a chance to go. Like in the morning, we went to the mountain to do snow tubing. You know, I was rejoicing. I was celebrating the time my sister is here with me. And we are celebrating, enjoying family. You know, when you come home, tired in your body, but you know, you're happy because I spend time. And it's good. And we feel like instead of, no, I was rejoicing. Thank you, Lord. And every time we rejoice, every time we do something that we know God gave us that opportunity to do, and we just celebrate Him. We thank God. We have to thank God all the time. And the fifth one was release forgiveness. You know, if you wanna have a wonderful 2019 and improve things in your life, take some bags out of your back, out of your shoulder. Just take out of your shoulder. And for unforgiveness is something is holding people back. Because they are carrying so heavy things on their shoulder. And just understand this. When you don't forgive someone, you are having problems. That is holding you back. That's causing you to suffer. That's causing you even to suffer in your body, in your soul. So and sometimes the other person never knew about it. It's keeping moving. Oh, maybe that person asked for forgiveness and then, or even didn't see what they did. That ever happened with you? When you were, I'll ask for forgiveness. Okay, I forgive you. And the person said, I didn't know. Did I hurt you? I didn't know, so I'm sorry. I didn't know. If I knew, I would come in and ask for forgiveness. And then the person was like for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years without forgiving. So just understand that God so loved the world. And He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, to forgive us. And when you read the scripture says, you didn't deserve. So that's so important because that's what I hear. I don't forget the person because he doesn't deserve or it's not about that. If that person doesn't deserve, you go there, you forgive that person, talk to the person, fix the situation. Maybe you won't be best friends, but you release forgiveness and you come back home really light and say, thank you, Lord. Now I can really have communion. I can pray for people. I can do things. So before you pray, before you do things, go ask for forgiveness. James talks about, okay? No more highlights. You have to go to the website and get the message. Amen? So now start again. The last 5 points that I have here. And it's lighter. It's lighter. I see you guys really quiet. But the first one is number 6. Be a generous giver. You said it's light. It's not that light. You know, he has made us givers. He has made us givers. He taught us that when you give, we shall receive. And then when you talk about being a givers, I'm not only talking about giving like money or giving something like natural things. We have to give love. We have to give forgiveness. We have to give the word. We have to sow seeds into people's lives. So whatever God gives you the opportunity to do, do it. Sometimes as baby Christians, we are ready to receive. It's good, of course, like little babies. We have kids here. The children, they are always receiving. We are giving things. We are giving the food. We are doing things for them. They grow up that way, receiving. But you know, sometimes in the middle of the way, you start saying, oh no, I won't give to you. You go and get it. Next time, okay, I'll give to you. But another opportunity, oh no, now you go and get it. And we start teaching them to go and get it. And then we start teaching them, now you have it, now it's time for you to start giving. Then we start changing. So being a generous giver will help us. The Bible talks about the generous will prosper. If you are not prospering in any area of your life, you have to start thinking about being a great giver. Great giver. Amen. I'm. You know, it's hard, but you have to be a giver. Give your time. Give your life. Give your money. Give your love. Give whatever it is. Give a ride in the morning when somebody says, "Oh, Pastor, can you give me a ride?" Sometimes I feel like the person or the people feel like, "Oh no, I'm bothering you," and it's a great opportunity for me to give something. It's a great opportunity for me to sow a seed. And you know what? If I sow a seed like a ride seed, I got so many rides in the past and I'm still getting rides now. And much better because I can sow seeds of ride and I can receive. The better thing God gave to me was a car. Is a car. Then now I can do much more. You don't need a ride anymore. You have a car. Oh, yes, I have a car. And I'll keep giving ride. And receiving sometimes, but now I have a car, and when I wish another one and I need another one, and I will need soon because Leo is getting married, he's leaving anyway. But no, God is perfect, God is good. 2 Corinthians, you don't have to open there, I'm just gonna read in Know the Scripture. 2 Corinthians, just write down, okay. 9:7-8 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. This is the first point. First point. It's funny because most of you know my testimony. Oh, I don't know if you know if I talk about. I think I did. So when I was a dentist, and I was working, and sometimes, usually, of course, brothers and sisters, they used to come. And said, oh, I'm coming to have a treatment here. And they were telling me, I said, okay, you have to do this. And said, oh, because you were the pastor, my pastor, so no, I have no money. I have no opportunity to do because it's too expensive. So thank you. Can you bless me? Can you do this? You know, people ask. That's why I used to ask Patricia, help me with that. Because I didn't know how to say no. And sometimes it was tough for us. And she knows how to say no. But what I mean is this. The person was asking me to give that treatment to him, to her. And the Bible says, so no, you have to give what you have decided in your heart. Sometimes I was telling her, when this person comes, I want to bless this person. And I didn't have time sometimes just to say, I want to bless you. You want to pay anything? I'm going to bless you. No, because they're already asking me to do something. So just give me the chance because I really want to do. And when somebody comes to say, oh, you have to give this to me? And you give, you feel like, yes, okay, I gave. But when you feel in your heart giving, the way the Bible says, give what you have decided in your heart to give. And it keeps saying, not reluctantly or under compulsion. This is what I mean. It's like, I want to give. I want to give. You'll never hear here in this church, I'm saying, so no, you should give this amount of money now, put in our basket. You should give this, should give. No, you give whatever you have in your heart to give. That's the way you do with joy. You know, I have a penny here, I have a quarter here. I said, I want to give this. This is all I have, but Lord, I trust in you. I want to give this. Ding! And with joy, and the Lord loves that because you trust in him, that he's going to increase you financially because you were putting your faith there. So this is the way it works. And for God loves a cheerful giver. That's why it's so important sometimes to know how to say no. Now I learned. I'm learning. Almost there. When I say, if somebody calls me, hey, pastor, can you give me a ride? Or can you do this for me? Or can you help me with this? If I feel like doing, no, I'll do it. But sometimes I feel, even like the Holy Spirit, no. Like my children, no. It's your time to face that situation and work on that. And I say, no, it's not because I don't love. You say, no, it's not because you don't love. It's because you have to do what God put in your heart with joy. Amen? So we are givers. When you say, yes, I'm going to do it. Pastor, I'm going to volunteer in the kids' ministry. Nobody said amen. Come on. I'm going to volunteer. So I say, because I want to serve there. See, I'm inviting, I'm asking you if you want to come and join us and volunteer. We need... Yeah, people in every department of the church. And I don't say, okay, you are going to do it. You're going to do it. Okay, you are going to do it. I'm the pastor. I'm saying you should obey. No, no, we are a family. So if you feel in your heart with joy, God loves when you say, yes, I'm going to serve with joy. Man, you're going to do your best. So first one for today, be a generous giver. Okay? She said, okay. Okay. So be generous. Generous means I'll give the leftover. I'll give the time. You know, if I have time to do this, if I have time to bless someone, calling the person, if I have time to love the person, support the person, that ministry, that family, if, you know, the leftover, you're left like the Lord. You know, we give to the Lord. We gave our hearts to the Lord. But we should give our time to the Lord. We're givers. Give your time to the Lord. Spend time with Him. Not only the leftovers of, you know, when you go to sleep, go to bed and start reading and read again. When I go to bed, it's almost like that. I prefer to watch something. I prefer to spend time with her. We talk with the kids. Because if I start reading, it, for me, in the end of the day, it's too hard. So no, we don't give leftovers. We don't give what we... No, it's not important. We give what is important for us. And to give, and important for that person. We give our best time to the Lord. We give our... heart to the Lord every day. We give our words to the Lord. So we are generous givers. Amen. So you start thinking and meditate on this, you'll see, wow, it's all about giving. God gave His Son. We gave our heart. Lord, prosper us. We give more. We receive more. It's about giving all the time. Give me a hug. Give me your time. Give me a phone call. Give me an invitation. Give me something. So it's about giving. That's why the Lord said it, we are givers. And the other side, when you have to receive, be ready to receive. I like when Bryce teaches about that. We sometimes have faith to give because we learn. See, I'm talking like 10 minutes about giving, giving, giving. So we learn and we hear a lot about giving. But we also need to learn how to receive. Because some people are just sowing seeds. They're not receiving the fruits of that. I was one like that. So when I, you know, when I, especially when I came to Canada, I wasn't working, receiving any wages and income. And then people was touched by the Lord to give an offering. And I was, oh, no, please, come on. No. I was so embarrassed receiving. And I still see people when say, no, I will pick you up. I will do this. I will give. People. No. We need to learn how to receive. And the way I've learned in Brazil, of course, through the word, but the pastor was teaching us, was like that. If I feel in my heart, God put in my heart to give something. So it I don't receive, I'm rejecting that blessing. But you know, so and we used to say, oh, you don't want me to prosper? Because more blessed is me that the ones are given than the one who's receiving. So if no, just receive. I wanna keep prospering. And I've learned that. So you know, I don't wanna reject when God puts someone's heart to give. So we received a nice gift this morning from Carol. Thank you, Carol. It's a beautiful box with cloths inside, and we're gonna anoint it and give if you want something, like did with Paul. I know it's faith. It's faith. It's not nothing like it's faith. But some people still need to see something, to touch something. They don't know how to do, they don't lay hands and sometimes they use that to at least to approach someone. Amen. I don't want idolatry here, of course. But something is we're gonna teach and we can use it. But anyway, we are givers. Givers, givers, givers. Number six. Number seven. Nobody likes this one. But I have to say, it's not the most important thing, but it's still important. It is important, which is exercise your body. I heard that everybody say, next year I will start, I'll be on a diet. Next, I'll be in shape. I will exercise. I'll go to the gym. I'll do this. I'll do that. I promised many times to myself. And I was thinking about it, meditating. I said, yes, I'll put this one, exercise your body. We need to exercise. The Bible says the physical training is of some value. But godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promises for the present life and for the life to come. Of course, spiritual training is more important. But I said, Lord, this physical training or exercising or, you know, it's very important. Better we are, better shape we are, more we're going to do for the Lord. No? You can do more and more and more and more. It's important. It's something we have to say, to tell ourselves. You know, my pastor in Brazil, he had a problem with his kidney. He was drinking one or two or three Diet Cokes every day in his life, Pastor Bud. Remember, he was big. He couldn't move. He was big. And one day the Holy Spirit told him, you should get rid of this. Exercise. Lose some weight. Because you still have things to do. No, sometimes we don't care about that because it's not very important. This is not very important. But it is. If you're eating right, we have more energy. If you are too big or not too big, if you are not, no, it's God wants us exercising to be able to serve Him. Let's keep serving Him. No, maybe you're not fast like I am, or you don't walk the way I walk, you don't run, you don't do this, you don't speak the way I speak. No, but the way God has made you, and the way you were, you are now, the age you are now, is different for each one of us. But in every age of our lives, God is going to use us. That's why it's important. It's important. How many times we feel like going, doing something, the Lord was putting something in our hearts, and say, oh, I'm so tired, I have pain everywhere, so I don't want to go, and we don't do it. So it's good to exercise. I'm not going to say that you have to be an athlete, or you have to, yeah, stop jumping, running, so, but at least to have energy to obey what the Lord is telling you to do. And sometimes we blame the enemy. He said, no, oh, the enemy put some sickness or disease in my life. And sometimes it's just like we are just doing something wrong. Something wrong. Everybody knows I play soccer every week. So every week, every Monday night, every Tuesday morning, I was going downstairs like this, sore everywhere. So my muscles was like, oh, terrible. I couldn't walk. So I just want to pray quietly. I don't. And Patricia was teasing me all the time. I hurt my ankle. I hurt my knee, my back. Every week, what's going to be the next? Because I wasn't exercising, just doing something that was more than I could do. And I started, okay? I didn't wait for 2019. I started. But I feel so much better. I have to put here in this message. We feel better. We don't do too much. But just think about it. Your health. Your health. Think about it, okay? This is not a spiritual pastor. Let's move the subject, okay? But it is important. It is. When the Lord asks you to do something, you feel like energized to do it. Okay? That's very, very important. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Number 8. This is awesome. Be carefree. It's a good advice. No worry about anything. If you start 2019 worrying about things, won't be the great year like you are imagining, you are desiring, you are praying for. Be carefree. I have something I wrote down, and this is very important. Lower your expectations. And I said, Pastor, you always ask us to come with great expectation. Now you were saying, lower your expectations. But I'm going to finish this. Lower your expectations about people, life, and institutions, and job, and work. And what I mean is this. Sometimes we put so much expectation in people. So much expectation. When I go to church, I will change my life. No, church doesn't change your life. Your life's going to be changed when you go to the presence of the Lord. And it's, the Lord has to be is with you. And you're supposed to be with the Lord. Actually, you are if you're a Christian. But you're supposed to spend time with Him every day. So, when you say, oh, I have great expectation. Okay, I have great expectation in that person. I have great expectation. And of course, we respect. We want to hear from that person. Job is really good. When you put your expectation in your job, you feel like, I'm worried about if I lose my job, it's done. Come on. God always has something better for you. Your provision doesn't come from your job. It comes from the Lord. So job is the way He is blessing you. But we put so much expectation in our jobs, in our relationships, in people. And we forget to lower that expectation and hide the expectation in the Lord. You want to be better in 2019, put a greater expectation in the Lord. He is the one is taking care of you. When that happens, and you go to the scripture, and you see, okay, Lord already provided everything to me. Then we feel like, wow, I'm in peace now. I can rejoice now. I can celebrate life. Doesn't matter the circumstances. No, so sometimes it's good. Where is your expectation? Or where are your expectations? In God, or people, or church, or your job? No, we want to grow in every area of our lives, but our great expectation has to be in the Lord. Amen? That's very important. Not in relationship. Sometimes, like, when I get married, I will be happy. No, you have to be happy before you get married. Because some people, they put expectation in the spouse. And said, so, "Oh, when I get..." That's why people sometimes they die for the other. No, my expectation is in the Lord. My year 2019 is going to be much better, not because my expectation is in Patricia, is in Leo, in Gabriella, my parents, my sisters. My expectation is in the Lord, and He will provide everything I'm asking Him. Amen. So relationships sometimes, I don't know, I don't remember if you guys use this expression here. Some people are making storms in a glass of water. Do you understand, right, when I say that? No? So, yes? Okay, good. Yeah. It's just a glass of water and people are looking at storm, like, so little things. Remember that the example I gave from the pastor in Brazil was listening his message. And he said he was so tired of the service, praying for people, healing, And the lady stopped him and said, "Pastor, you have to pray for me because I'm going to die." "Yeah, what happened?" "Oh, the chicken, my neighbor has a chicken. It's flying over the gate and eating my vegetables. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't sleep anymore. I don't do this." So she was crying. She was dying. "I'm going to die because I don't sleep anymore. I have to take care of my..." And he said, he was so tired. He said, "Just come on. Kill the chicken and go to sleep." Just that. Come on. Kill the chicken. And go and sleep. And that example was so great because I felt like, yeah, sometimes we, little things. Sometimes somebody say something like, doesn't really want to offend you. But we take that little thing and make bigger, bigger, bigger. Come on, I was writing things. It's not out of order because it came in a... Be carefree means do not forget to have fun. Yeah. Because if you're worrying about everything, you're not relaxed. You are not enjoying life. You're just worrying about things. So we just... Enjoy life. Some people, enjoy life. No. How many times you? When was the last time you laughed? The last time you really played games with your children? The last time you hang out with family? There was no tubing. What last time you bow down on your knee before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm here because I love to be in your presence." So we have to balance. When the Lord taught me about balancing, ministry or calling or ministry, family and work, we have to balance all of those. I don't come every day to church from 8 to 8 and say, I used to do that when I was a dentist. And my marriage was hard because I couldn't see my wife, my children. I was always tired, irritated. I was like, tired. And the Lord told me, "No, you have to slow down." You remember when I told you, I'll never forget because came, I believe, God was using Patricia to minister to me. And she said, "What should I do? Make an appointment with a book, an appointment with the Dr. Delson, and a counseling with Pastor Delson because I need to talk with my husband." And I said, "Wow." That day she said, "You know, I don't have my husband. I have a dentist and I have a pastor. But I need my husband back." So balance. The Lord said, you have to balance. Balance. I'm not encouraging you to miss church. I'm not encouraging you to miss, like, spending time with the Lord. I'm not encouraging you not to seek the Lord every day of your life. Every day. But because when we enjoy life, we praise Him. We show the joy of the Lord that is in us. How can we show the joy of the Lord if you're really tired? We are not wondering about everything, all things. And somebody comes, it's not a good testimony. But when you are carefree, we are rejoicing, enjoying life. So you work, you are rejoicing. You go and stay with your family, the time, the good quality of time, you are rejoicing. We go to church, when you go do your ministry, what God called you to do. You go to study the word, you go to preach the word, you go to pray for someone, you go to fellowship with someone, you go to love someone, and then say, you go with joy. Nothing is too tough because you are balancing your life. You have your life balanced, actually. Then you can do all things with joy. So, yeah, it's good. Play with your children. Have fun with your husband. Enjoy your friends. That's one. God won't have any problem with that. Okay? Of course, if you are doing what pleases the Lord. I'm going to enjoy my friends and drink some beer. I'm going to do this, do that. No, you know, you are mature. You're not talking about that. Our joy is not in things from this earth. Our joy is in Him. So everything we do, and everything we do and please Him, it's okay. Ask Jesus Christ. You think Jesus Christ could do that? I cannot go to a wedding ceremony or party because it's a party. Jesus was celebrating the wedding. Oh, I cannot sleep because I can do this, I can do that. Talking about exercising, taking a rest, and then balancing things. So Jesus was sometimes alone with God, and sometimes He was with His people. Sometimes He was preaching to the people, and sometimes He was sleeping in the boat or on the boat. Jesus Christ, the only worries was, not worry, but the only thing Jesus was thinking about was, where is the pillow? I need the pillow. I need to rest. So rest is part of our life because we have a mortal body, okay? So carefree. I have this, I'm going to read all the scriptures in Philippians 4, from 4 to 8. But I'm going to use Amplified version. I know I this one I'm supposed to give to you, Leo. Can you find it? Philippians 4. Do you have Amplified version? Okay, 4:4. Philippians 4:4. Just a... I'm going to read the scripture because the scriptures just explain itself. I'm here like 5 minutes talking about be carefree, and just the scripture, like the scriptures, is explaining everything. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. So that's the point. Always rejoice in the Lord. Delight, take pleasure in Him. So this is the first thing. You have to rejoice in Him. We have to take pleasure in Him. You have to love. We are singing. We have to love to be in His presence, church. If that happens, we just erase this message. And it's though, let's do something else. This is the priority. If you have to delight in His presence, we have God in us. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So now we have to delight. Now we delight. We can relate with God the way we couldn't before. So if this is the first thing, rejoice in the Lord always, always, always. If you have circumstance in your life, if you are facing issues, problems in your life, it's not God's fault. Because people start getting angry with the Lord instead of keeping rejoicing in the Lord. But it's not His fault. He's perfect. And again, I will say, rejoice. That's so important. Rejoice in His presence. Know Him better. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. So, Can you imagine when you go somewhere, you go to work, you go to church, you go to be with your family, your relatives, you go on streets, you go to the supermarket, and people see you and say, wow, why you were so happy? Why you were smiling? Why? No, I don't know. It's something like I can see peace in your life. This is a good example. This is a good preaching. Good preaching. Let that, everything he's talking about here, let be known to all people. Let be known to your pastor. Let be known to your brothers. No, to all people. To all people. The Lord is near. Then they will see. They will know it's the Lord and he's near. Because he's in you, church. Simple. He's in us. So we have to act like him. Remember, what I really want for the church, or for myself, and I believe and I'm praying and I'm declaring over this church, is this: I just want to be more like Jesus. In 2019, what you have as a promise, as a word for the church, I pray for you, church, that we can finish this year and say that I became more like Jesus. So all these 10 things and advices, or the 100 advices, whatever is the number. If we become more like Jesus every day, done. 2019 is going to be great, 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 great. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. So you have to spend time with him. There's no way. It's not me telling you to do that. It's him. In every circumstance, make your requests, your petitions. Be specific. Oh no, I'm bothering. God will, he won't hear me because, you know, this is so simple. No, this is not important for God. Be specific, everything you want. You know something you know? You know something you know? But you know that he can, he knows before you speak. He knows your heart. Don't try to hide anything from the Lord. I'm watching this, but I if I don't speak anything, the Lord won't know. He knows. When Gabriela goes somewhere, he had a celebration yesterday with friends and said, you know, just remember, I'm not going to be there. But the eyes of the Lord is everywhere. So you cannot hide anything from him. In your heart, he knows your heart. So ask the Lord. It's not a sin. Ask the Lord. We have friends. We have parents, relatives, kids. They ask all the time. Ask the Lord. He's hearing you. So don't worry about anything, okay? That's really important. 7 says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. When you trust in the Lord, when you are carefree, we have to learn, I understand. But the only way is through the Word of God. Your ear is going to be a great ear. And finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's Word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. That's why I love this scripture. The first reason is because this scripture changed my life. I was meditating in Philippians 4 for a long time. Actually, every time something is hitting me and my mind starts thinking and I just realize there's a little bit of worrying or, you know, I have to go back there. Go back to the scripture. It's a medicine for you. Take the medicine every day. Don't allow. Okay, when I'm sick, I'll take the medicine. You know, it's like vitamin you take to protect you against sickness and disease. So take the word every day to protect you against sickness and disease, against troubles, against worries. Take the medicine. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to think about this. But you're not thinking about honorable things, worthy things, things that please the Lord. So that's dangerous. So that's why you need to know the word and you need to speak the word and it will make a whole difference. Okay? Number 9, connect deeply with God. So it's just I had a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about going deeper in His presence, going deeper in His water, going deeper in your relationship with God. So number 9 is connect deeply with God. Love Him. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy His voice. Read the Bible daily. Meditate on it. Dedicate yourself to prayer at all times. Pray in spirit at all times. Be a worshiper. Let's be a worshiper. We worship the Lord like 20 minutes on Sunday morning. No, let's worship the Lord every day in our lives. Amen? Don't delay obeying the Lord. Don't delay obeying the Lord. When He speaks, you obey. This is what it means to connect deeply with Him. Amen? God is good. Sure. We are here because we love Him. But we still have to learn and we still have to keep talking about the same things every day, reading the same scriptures, learning more and more, getting more revelation. And then we're going to love Him more and more. More time we spend with Him, more time we love Him. More time. You know, people say couples, more time they spend with the husband, with the wife, the more problems they have. That's in the world. We should be different because we think in good things. We should think in things that edify ourselves. We should think in the Word of God and help one another and grow with one another. More I know Patricia, more I love her. More she knows me, I believe more she loves me. Is that true? Please. Okay. She won't answer now, okay? Later. You can ask her. But no, we know each other. We know better. If I'm here talking to you and it's, oh, the time is, whoa, quite a time. And I look to her, if she wants, she feels like, you know, saying something. She just look at me, I know her. More time, go deeper, spend time with the Lord. Amen? Spend time. We need to know Him better. Like a couple months ago when somebody called me asking me, Pastor, why you didn't sign the paper talking about the third gender matters? In schools now, the book they are teaching about that, what do you think? So no, you shouldn't even ask me. Because if you have a relationship with me, if you spend time with me, if you hear the message I preach, don't think that I didn't sign because I agree to have the third gender or I agree with gay couples or this or that. No, if we have a relationship, we know what I think. I didn't have chance. Or the first time I had a chance, I said, no, I will meditate on it. I was talking with other people. They said, no, you don't need to sign. This is what I believe in. That's it. This is what it is. When you spend time with the Lord, we know what He thinks. We know Him better. Can you imagine knowing the mind of Christ, knowing Him as your Father? And say, no, I'm not worrying about anything. I know God. He's going to provide to me everything I need. So this is the way it works. Okay, number 9 is connected deeply with the Lord. And 10, and I'll finish with this. Hallelujah. Amen. The last one. Burn the bridges to your past. Live the present time and dream about the future. Wow, it's a long one. It's a long one. Yes, I was meditating on this. Burn the bridges to your past. You know, 2018 is done. Gone. It's gone. Done. We won't leave 2018 anymore. If I did that in 2018, no. Stop thinking about that. Thinking what you can do now. I'm not thinking that forget what God did for you in the past. Forget what Jesus Christ did. Forget the miracles happened in the past. Forget the problems you had and the Lord came and helped you to fix those problems. No, I'm not saying to forget what happened in the past. We won't forget. But burn some bridges that brings you back to the past. You know, 20 years ago, I was in love for God. I was living the first love. I was praying. I was meditating. Some people are just living in the past. One day I was hearing someone in 2009. I was visiting a member of the Word in Action Church. It's a really good couple. And he was crying. He was like, Pastor, oh, in the past I used to pray for people. I have testimonies of healing. I have testimonies of deliverance. I have, and he was crying. You know, I love that time, you know. Hey, burn that bridge. Happened in the past. Glorify the Lord for what He did through you. But now, leave, like move forward. Hey, if you stay in the past, think, oh, I should do that. I should do this. And I know I was wonderful in the past. I was terrible in the past. So we are living the past. So let's burn some bridges and say, okay, thank you, Lord, for what happened. Thank you, Lord, because You used me in the past. But I want more from You. Increase. More. I want to do more. I had so many testimonies of healing, people getting saved, deliverance, opportunities that I had to cast out demons. It's good. I want more. I won't forget what happened. I won't forget the problems I had in the past. I cannot forget. But I won't stay like telling everybody. You know, I sometimes testimonies we call in Brazil sad monies. Because so sad, I was using drug, I was killing people, I was doing this, I was, and the end of like 2 hours later, oh, and one day I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. I bless you guys. Bye. And so, but 2 hours hearing problems and disgrace and everything. So no, let's say, yeah, I had problems in the past, but the Lord, they saved me from that. I have Jesus. I have life. Now in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you were facing, what kind of circumstances or problems. Now you can live your life with Jesus. So this is the way it works. Sometimes people are too much in the past. Or sometimes people are in the future. One day, revival will come. One day. Pastor, I have a revelation. Maybe it's 2029. 2039. So I'm not waiting to I don't know. I think I won't be here in 2029. You know, not because I'm going to die, but because Jesus will come to rescue me and rescue His church. So no, I'm expecting for this year for greater things that is yet to come. It's this year. Actually, today I'm expecting for great things. Tomorrow I'm expecting for great things. Amen. So I'm not living in the future. No, we live in the present time. Today, faith is today. Yes. You believe today, then you will see something happening in the future. Or maybe now, right away. But it's still future. I'm believing now for something. 1, 2, 3 seconds happen. Wow, future. But it's now, church. It's now. Dream the size of God's dreams. That's important. If you believe in God, if you are spending time with the Lord, so you just dream big dreams. Big dreams, like we are sharing at home. So no, I believe for more than abundant. Amen. One scripture in the International Readers, in the Ephesians 3:20, it's very famous, 3:20, says, God is able to do far more. We usually say exceedingly abundantly above. Sometimes say immeasurable more. But I like this one. It's simple to understand. God is able to do far more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He does everything by His power that is working in us. So, both working together. If you are dreaming dreams like it's possible for you. I'm dreaming to put this Pope here. Okay, it's possible. You don't need God. I'm dreaming to pay my bills in the end of the month. okay, I'm going to pay my bills. So, you know, if you work harder, a little bit harder, and you ask your boss to pay a little bit more, done, you pay easily. But when you are dreaming for bigger things, I want to help grow in this church, like people giving and blessing, paying the mortgage. That was a big dream for us. A big dream, moving to this place. It was a big dream. Now we have a Spanish meeting. We have Hindi meetings. We have this building to praise the Lord. So when you dream bigger, when you dream something that it sounds impossible for you, but you believe because it's in your heart. So the way it says, exceedingly abundantly above, immeasurable more, far more, then we will give the glory to the Lord. Amen. Coming to Canada was something that was impossible to me, to my family, but happened. And when I see people posting on Facebook or Instagram, when they say, you know, your faith in God, your courage, your whatever they say, say, yes, I give the glory to the Lord. Because without Him, I couldn't do anything. No. Jeremiah says that He knows the plans that He has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. There's one version says the plan that I want you to enjoy success. He wants us to enjoy success. He wants us to enjoy successful life. He wants us to see succeeding in every area of your life. He wants to see that. I know the plans. My plans is to prosper you. That's the plans of God. Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So we are not in the past anymore. We have hope in the future because we trust in God now. He is the great I am. I am. So I'm the great I was. And I will be in the future someday. No, He is still. I am. I am. He's alive. He's still present time. It's for today, church. It's for today. So this is the last one. But I think it's one of the most important. So just the last scripture and I'll finish. Philippians 3:12 says, do not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. So it's not one thing the Lord does. One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I put pressure. I press on. I straining toward. I have to move. I have to do something, church. We have to do something. So one thing I do, Paul was saying. So we have to do something. If you want to see, if you want to have a better 2019, you have to do something. You have to leave things in the past, okay, happen in the past. So help you to grow your faith, help you to make you stronger in Christ Jesus. So now you live in the past. You said, now, Lord, I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to do better for you. This year is going to be much better. What are you expecting for the next day, for the next year, for the next 10 years? Put it, expose that, show the Lord your heart. This, where you're going to be, where you want to be in 1 year. Where? I'm not only saying about like place. Yes, I want to visit my family in Brazil in 1 year. I'm going to be, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, in 1 year, I want to see more things happening in this church. I want to see you stronger. I want to see you getting more like hungry and thirsty for the Lord. I want to see you laying your hands more often. I want to see you more confident preaching the Word of God. I want to see myself doing that. I want to see more people coming to this church, visiting and staying here because they feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, but in the past was good. People, no, no, no. Present and future now. We do in the present time. And we'll see the great future God has prepared for us. Great future. Great. Think big. Have great, great, beautiful, big, huge dreams. You know that you have in your heart that nobody knows? I have dreams that nobody knows. I have dreams that I told you. I have dreams that I was preaching in a huge, I was like a stadium with like full of people. I don't know when that's going to happen. But it's going to happen. If I keep pressing on. If I keep pressing on, put some strength. If I keep moving in Him. If I keep desiring His presence. If I take this 10 advice and I say, no, Lord, I don't wanna have pride in my heart. I don't wanna envy anything that the other people has. I will celebrate with that person actually instead of envy those things. I will love my family, I will love my friends, I will love my brothers and sisters, I will help them, I will be giver, I will be a great giver, I want to give more. Lord gives you the seed. You have a choice. You can sow the seed or you can eat the seed. I want to sow seeds. I want to sow seeds. I want to be carefree. Definitely. Definitely. That's my testimony. I never used drugs. I never drank. I never had problems like that. I never killed anybody. I never did anything sexual, immoralities, stuff like that. I was a good guy. But you know, I was dying because anxiety, because I was worrying about everything. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. I was worrying about everything. So I'm changing. I'm using this word the same way you are using the word as a medicine. I'm using every day because I want to be better. And 2019 is going to be much better for each of us. If depend on my prayer, it's going to be better. If depend on my counselings, if depend on my teaching, my preaching, and then it's going to be better because I will preach the word of God. I will preach the word of God. The life is beautiful. I want to rejoice. I want to rejoice. I want to spend time with you guys. I want to spend time with the Lord. Because this is what is in my heart. And I believe is in your heart too. Amen. Did you get the 10 advices? Can you stand up, please? Amen.